Hey, good evening, everyone. Glad you could be out with our Wednesday evening service, and it's midweek fuel up, and we're so glad that you're here. I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot, listen to our 88.1 on the FM, and we're going to start our service off. If you've got a hymnal at the house, turn to page number 206, and we're going to say, "Blessed be the name."
I was talking to you piano player.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're ready for you. Yes,
good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. Thankful that you have made the effort to come out. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Romans. It's going to be just kind of a kickoff verse. We do have some study guides down here if you want one. It's going to be pretty simple. If you were here in 2017, you probably may remember it. But I was looking at some of the, I started working on a sermon out of 2 Timothy chapter 3 about all scripture being God-breathed. And one of the reasons why is because we're going to be doing our new members class. Basically, I'm going to start it on a Sunday night and teach through it, being as we've, it's been a while since we've looked at the history of Thomas Village and also our doctrines, what we stand on, what we believe. And doctrine is basically just, it means teaching, what is taught and what we stand on. But tonight we're going to talk about some things that we should know, some things that we should know, and that it makes a big difference. Matter of fact, that sermon was from December of 2017, meaning that I was about 6 weeks out of, or 6 months away from the wreck, and God had put this on my heart. There were some other members that had been diagnosed with some issues. Some God has already took home since that time, but it came from that point. But as you're turning to Romans chapter 8, I do want to tell everybody it's good to be with you tonight, whether you're listening by radio, you're watching by Facebook, or for those of you that have come into church tonight, and I pray that the Lord is going to bless you and encourage you through the message tonight as we study in Romans chapter 8. But just to remind you, nobody loves you like Jesus. And nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things. And for those that helped out Monday night with the celebration of Sister Catherine Ward, I believe everybody was here, was blessed. And then also we want to continue to pray for the Jairus Holden family. We found out this week that Brother Ed has COVID. So, I mean, it's just one of them times, man. Wave on. All you can do is smile and say God is good, and he does all things well when sometimes you just ride the wave. Well, if it's a good wave, praise God. If it's a difficult wave, praise God anyway, because he's good in all of it. As we begin our prayer list tonight, we do want to thank God for all those that are mending up, Sister Sherry, Sister Robin, Sister Phyllis. As they get better, we thank God for that. And then Maddie seems to be doing well. She did have to go back a little bit earlier today to make sure the cuts and all that were healing up fine. But she asked me what I thought. Well, I said, I ain't never seen a belly button heal before, so I don't know what to look for. You know, I mean, it looks okay, I guess. That's all I could say. But keep praying for her, and we want to pray for, but is there any other words of testimony tonight? Praise report. In the way of announcements, don't forget Sunday morning, our senior adult women, they're going through the Galilean marriage, and they'll be maybe finishing it up, Lord willing, this Sunday, but also invite somebody to service at 11 o'clock, and also, on the 25th and 26th of February, we'll be having a marriage celebration, and it's going to be pretty good. I've been talking with Brother Matt and Sister Holly, and then sat down with some of our ladies that's going to be decorating and preparing some things, and we're gonna give it a go. So if you've not signed up yet, if you know someone that might invite them and remind them that, yes, we would love to see boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife come, but I've been talking with some over the past few days, and the realization is you can't make your spouse do anything. All you can do is work on yourself, and if they want to come without their spouse, come on, shame them. Shame, shame, shame that spouse that wouldn't come. That's what we'll scrape our finger at them, won't we? No, we're expecting God to do something, though, and to move. It's going to be that weekend. And not only will it be the 25th and the 26th, but Sunday we're going to kindly focus it on marriage and things as well. So we're expecting God to do big there. Anyone else? We do want to remember Candy Moore's niece, Ashlyn, Sister Phyllis, Sister Yvonne. She's still mending. I want to continue to pray for her. I texted with her today. J.D. Nielsen, Gerald Newton, John Bryce, Sister Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Don and Wilma Daniels, Pam and Jasper Brown. Man, it was so good to see them Monday night, too. I tell you, there's something about Miss Pam's hugs, them good hugs that she gives. So, and one-arm hugs, Brother Jasper. I'm just letting that be known, one-arm hugs, so he don't beat me up. David Carter, Sister Melanie Lester, Mary Jane Carter, Gillette family, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Michael Starnes, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, the Stenicky family, Ivan Scotton family, Lisa Eastep, Betty Carter, Aiden Jernigan, Katie Baldwin, Sherry Dean Cope, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Junior Stidham, Chuck Kearney, Brandy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Beeler, Betty Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, the CC family, Margaret Williams, Pam Sabarsky, Jesse Bull, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Virginia Eden, John Webb, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and family, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Thomas and Paul Stoyer, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Daniel Jordan, Jennifer and Chris Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Dinah Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryan, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jerry Flannery, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Linda Jackson, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Helen Bowen, Liza Fletcher, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis Bledsoe, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, Ricky Sheffield, James Connor, Jewel Williams, and want to continue to pray for Mr. Danny Roten. He's got some tests coming up this week, I think, and so we're going to pray for that. And all those marriages and homes, the depressed, and never forget to pray for the lost, those that are backslidden. Is there any other prayer needs that we have tonight? Brittany Grindstaff. Anyone else? Yes, Cody Carlson. Carlton. Yeah, Cody Carlton. Anyone else?
Shirley Harris.
Shirley Harris.
And
Jimmy Taylor. Okay, anyone else?
Kim and Dale Owens.
Okie dokie. Anyone else? Gail Stidham. My pen died. Okie dokie. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to ask Brother Otis, if he would, to come and open us up in prayer tonight. Also, let's remember our lost, the list of the lost, and we're thankful that God is saving souls. Even as we are here right now, he's rescuing soul after soul from an eternal... Charlotte Bishop. And if you have them, send them by the Facebook, or you can go to all lowercase, tvbcduffield.gmail.com, and it'll come in, and Sister Melissa will get it to me. Brother?
Before I pray, I'd like to give a report on Arden, or great niece who had to had heart surgery, heart replacement. I talked with Bradley this morning a while, and she's doing well. She's up and walking and doing activities. She is going to be permitted to start picking up weights, you know, something light like books and things. And she has all the lines and picks and everything taken from her body except one. That's a drain tube around her lungs. So pray that they'll be able to do that, and that her body will start absorbing that liquid up, and she won't even have to have it, and she can go home when she gets that PICC line or drain line out. But she's made a marvelous recovery and is doing well. She's back in school. She's in class during the day, and that's weighing on her because, you know, she's not used to sitting and working 6 or 8 hours, but she's wanting to do it. And I just thank God for her determination, and she's been through so much and so many surgeries, I can't even describe it. And most of you know that. It's kept up with her, but just continue to pray for Bradley and Juanita and Mike and Melanie and the other girls, and just thank God that the surgeons can do that. But Bradley and I were talking this morning. A surgeon can do a lot to your body, but they can't heal you. They can sew you up, but they can't heal you. The healing process has to come from some other source, and we know who that comes from, the great physician. And just thank you for praying for Arden, and continue to pray for her and many others in all of our families that are sick and hurting. But we have many in our family, and I'm sure you do yours, that needs salvation, needs the Lord. And you can speak some of it to some of them, and some of them just don't want to hear it. But you know they'll hear that trump when the sound comes, but it'll be too late. And I'm sorry for that, but I'm not God. I do all I can do, and I know you probably do too. All you can do to witness and talk to them, but we can't save people, can we? That takes the Holy Spirit. But let's pray for these prayer requests and those that have been added even this night, and I'm sure there's others hurting we don't know about and hurting in a way we don't know about, but our Savior does. Let's pray. Father, we just come tonight thanking you for another day, thanking you, Lord, that you've loved us through another day, through last night, and we look forward till tomorrow comes and we can stand again and praise you and study your word and be in your spirit that you give us. And we have many in our church family that are hurting. We have many in our families that are hurting. We have many friends and neighbors that are hurting, Lord. And this is a trying time for all of us. And I think, Lord, you allow some things to happen because we need to grow spiritually and closer to you, and sometimes we don't grow unless we have circumstances that grow us, that we get through them and we look back and say, you know, it wasn't me, it was a God thing, and we can testify to that. But sometimes, Lord, when we pray that we don't go through some of this, just as Job went through much that he didn't understand for a long time what it was, why he was having to go through it. You know, and we might think the same thing. I'm a good person. I come to Sunday school. I come to church. I carry my Bible. That don't make us exempt, Lord, from things and situations. And we know that. And you know that. And you have to get us through those things, through hard times and trials. And you're the only one that can get us through it. Our spouse can't do it. Our children can't do it. Our neighbors can't do it. They can love on us and do a lot for us, but they can't get us through it. And we're just thankful that you are the awesome God. You're the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere God. And that you can control our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And we just thank you for it. We thank you for our church family here tonight that's here to come through the cold weather. And we just ask you to be with those others that couldn't be here tonight. We hope you, Lord, speak to their hearts and give them directions in their lives. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers. And we thank you so much, Lord, for our pastor and his family. And he's so steadfast to be here to teach and preach the word. And, Lord, not mince words when he does it. If he steps on my feet and toes and heart, so be it. It was given to you, to him by you. And there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in everything that happens. And tonight, there's a purpose in tonight. And may we just glean from tonight with studying the book of Romans that a message that we can take tomorrow and carry it through the day. And most of all, we just thank you, Lord, for being there when we need you and being there when we take you for granted. Many times we forget about you, but you never leave us. You never forget about us, and we thank you for it. And most of all, we just thank you for being a Savior that died for my sins and everyone's sins, whosoever will accept you. And we thank you, Father, for that. And most of all, we just thank you for another day. And again, for our church family, we ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right, we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, and we'll be looking at one specific verse, and you've probably heard it all of your life. It's Romans 8:28, and we'll just read it here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, what's been on my heart, especially the past few weeks, is we've been looking forward to starting the new, and I tell you what's kind of holding me back right now is I've got some notes in a computer that if I can get that computer cut on, I'm only going to have to retype two words, and I can just pull and paste, cut and paste. But if I start again, I'm going to have to retype the whole doggone thing. So I'm holding off. To, Lord willing, I'll get that computer back going so I can go into it. But we're going to be studying what we believe as a church, and on everything that we talk about, Lord willing, we're going to be giving out the Baptist Faith and Message so that you'll have a copy of that. But what you'll see and what we believe lines up with the Baptist Faith and Message here at Thomas Village. But we do put our own imprint on it. You know, we're not just taking somebody else's belief system and passing it off on our own, but this is something that I myself have spent time writing my own personal faith and message, what I believe, and then as a deacon board, we've talked about it and we've looked at some things. So the authority of Scripture is really standing out to me right now, especially as you begin to go more and more in life. You deal with harder and harder storms, like Brother Otis was talking about. We all face different trials at different times. And to be honest with you, we don't know what happens in those situations. And so what is standing out to me, and I think it's God trying to teach me something as I grow older, is that I can count on the authority of His Word when I cannot count on anything else. I can stand on the authority of God's Word when I cannot stand on anything else. If you were here the other night, and really there was such a sweet spirit here at the celebration for Sister Catherine. And if you remember the scripture, it was read twice. And matter of fact, it's prescribed to believers during the time of death. And if you remember over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul writes to the Thessalonican church and said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And then he goes through from verses 13 to verse 18, I believe it is. It may be verse 11, but it's there at the last 5 to 6 verses there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he goes through and he talks about how the trump of God's going to sound, and the dead in Christ, God will bring back those with him. Christ, as he comes back, he's going to bring those back with him, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. I believe that's when we'll see our new bodies right then, and that we which are alive and remain will go up and will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, as it says over in 1 Corinthians. The authority, but the neat thing about all that, we have all those promises in concerning death, and we're told to comfort one another with these words. But it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul says this, based on the words of the Lord, not based on what he believes, not based on our emotional feelings at the time, not based on the way we think this situation ought to play out and the way that God ought to do it, but based on the word of God, that we do not have to mourn as others, as when the lost die. There's something different between the homegoing service. I won't even call it a funeral. But it's a homegoing service and it's a celebration service, knowing that they've entered into the presence of God and that, Lord willing, in the name of Jesus, we'll see them again. But I've done sermons for lost people too, and I've seen the parents of loved ones and spouses of loved ones lay on that casket and just weep and weep because in their mind it's over, not based on the word of the Lord. But here in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, again we have the authority of God's word, knowing that it is all breathed by the Holy Spirit. But if we break this down, and you know I like to break the words down because I think it helps give it a fuller definition, especially when it's kind of Hebrew culture, and we don't know much about Hebrew culture, so the more that we study the words and we study the culture, then it's easier to cross that bridge of relevance, you know, that we can make it apply to our lives today. So this is one thing that we know, and you know what? The same thing. This is January 2002. The first time I preached this sermon was December of 2017. But guess what? The truth that's found in it has not changed over those 5 years. Matter of fact, it has not changed since God created the heavens and the earth. And it will stand long after I'm gone if God tarries, and it'll be truth until He comes back. But notice it says, and we know. In other words, as a follower of Christ, we possess certain information. Amen? We possess information and understanding that the world or the lost do not know. We talked about it on Sunday morning, how that the idea that when we was talking about the goodness of the Lord and the riches of the Lord, that He did not want us to misinterpret it or to have the information and reject the information like the Gentiles did in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they worshiped Him not as God, or they took the knowledge of God and ignored it. And that's what we can do sometimes, is we have that information there, and we know that this word will stand. He says not one dot and not one tittle, not one little mark in the Hebrew writings will not come to fulfillment. He says, and we know what? We know that because. We know that the reason or the purpose. We know that the purpose that all things work together. Each and every incident that we go through in our life, like Brother Otis was saying, everything in our life has a purpose. It does. God does not let anything happen in our life by chance. There's not a wasted moment. There's not a wasted incident. There's not a wasted storm. And there's not a wasted hilltop in our life that God does not have a purpose for something in our life. And you know what? If we can keep that in the forefront of our mind, that everything is happening, praise God, He's over 100 steps ahead of me. I mean, He knows the end from the beginning. And so in the midst of these hard situations, like I told y'all, when going to the doctor's office and to the surgery and all that last week, I didn't know really a hill of beans what was going on there. I just saw my job as keeping everybody calm. And how would I do it? I told Amy over in Proverbs, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lead not to thy own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And you know, sometimes people get tired of hearing that, but that's what we have. That is His riches, that He has truth. So He says, and we know that everything, we have the information and understanding that everything in our life is about a work, or meaning that it's being brought together. The word there is synergy. And you know, the idea I have when they decorate your home, they try to use synergy so that everything kind of jives together and looks good and it plays off one another. Well, praise God, everything in our life, God is working with a purpose. For good. Notice that. Not for bad. Not for heartache or pain just in and of itself. But no, He is working it for good, meaning that it is beautiful and morally acceptable. God is bringing us to a place of beauty and a place where we'll understand Him more. Remember, His goodness brings us to a place of repentance or recognizing how good He is to us. But notice it says, how does it work? Why does it come to good? Because to them that love God, and that love there is an offshoot of the word agape, meaning that we will set ourselves aside for the glory of God? Do we love God that much? That we, our lives that we're living, we'll set ourselves aside. We'll set aside our comfort. We'll set aside our emotions. We'll set aside the way that we think in a physical realm and instead believe what He tells us. Because it's true, right? The truth of God lots of times is directly adverse to the way we're thinking. You see, and it's in that moment where we decide every day, like it was said over in Joshua, choose you this day. Every day we choose to go by our emotions and our intellect, or we choose to trust God and live by His Word. And when we trust God and live by His Word, that is the way that we're stepping aside. We're saying, Lord, it's no longer my life, it's Your life. And so instead of what I want today, I'm going to live out what You will for my life, what You have for my life today. And lots of times it's not easy. And like I said on a Sunday morning, even when it is good, there's still difficulty in that goodness. Amen? This world is under a curse. Our flesh is under a curse. And we should be mindful of that, that no, it's not going to be easy. You can't have an easy life if you're under a curse. But praise God, we've been delivered from the curse. And that no longer has authority in our life. It is God's Word that has authority in our life. To them that are called. The Bible says many are called, but only a few are chosen. If you believe the percentage that they say about the seeds and the soil, you remember? Only one of the seeds that were sown, only 25% bear fruit. Now the Bible says if you've been changed, then you'll bear fruit of repentance. But He says to them that are called, and what? According to His purpose. Again, how does He end it? Saying, I'm bringing you to a special place. I've got a special plan for your life, and it's about my purpose, not your will. If I was going to say it in the Royal Brian Gunner version, it would be something like this. So we have an understanding that everything that we go through, the entirety of our life, the good, the bad, it's all brought together by God, bringing value and worth to Him. And as His children, we demonstrate His value by following His plan for our life, which He has established for us. And remember, Jeremiah 29:11. Again, I know that this is a promise written to the nation of Israel, but it's also a truth that God provides to His people. And so the same is true for us, that yes, He has plans for us, declares the Lord. Plans for our welfare, and not for our evil, not for wickedness, or not for our demise, but to give us a future and to give us a hope. Hallelujah. Praise God, I have a future past this life. And because of the promise that He's given me, then I have a hope that lives within me. There's some down in Georgia that they have a hope so salvation. They believe you can lose your salvation or that you can give your salvation back. No, praise God, God does not give and take back. He gives, and hallelujah. You know, you couldn't say it was eternal life if you lost it. It would be temporary. But He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall have everlasting life, life without end. Hey, as we read about the great white throne judgment, that's leading to the second death. And we'll not experience but one death. However, there's other things that we ought to know as well. We know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. But you remember on Sunday morning when we were studying over there in chapter 2 of Romans, and I believe it was verse 11 that it says, for there is no favoritism in our Lord. What He's done for one, He'll do for another. Amen? All right, so let's quickly go through this. The first thing, or the second thing that we, I think my notes have got off. There we go. All right. See, I ain't trying it back and front no more. Remember how bad that got me off? The first thing we need to know is that God cannot lie. You believe that? God cannot lie. If we look over there in Numbers, it says God, Numbers chapter 21, verse 19, God is a man that He should not lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said it? And will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and it will not fulfill it? And then in Titus, New Testament, it says, any hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies,
but promised before the ages began. Now, if we go all the way, you know what? The devil is not using new tactics today. He's using the same things that he's used all of creation, except he's a little bit more pointed when it comes to each as individuals. He watches us. I believe, you remember back over in the book of Genesis? And it said that Eve and Adam, how did the devil get to her? You remember he asked her, he said, but did God really say? You see, he began to test her and to try her and began to get her to believing that God could lie. Maybe he doesn't, maybe he does, but did he really say this? Is this really how it should be interpreted? And I want to tell you this today. A married man, most of the time, the devil will come against him through his wife and through his children. Amen? I believe that Satan probably watched Adam and Eve for a while. He might have even tried to get Adam to fall before Adam fell. But he was watching and he finally fell in a hole. And that was because of his spouse. His love, he went through his wife. And I believe that the devil watched him and he found that hole. But hallelujah today. Psalms 119 verses 41 and 42. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I'm going to tell you what, for about 2 months now, it's just been, God, all I can do is trust your word. All I can do is trust that you said you love me. You said you would never leave me or forsake me. Your promises will never fail. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. He doesn't have respect for persons. If he's not lied to anybody so far, then why in the world would he start by lying to me? Yes, ma'am. Is that what it is? All righty. Thank you. 1 Samuel 15:29. All right. The second thing is that not only can God not lie to us, but we also know that God loves me. Amen. That I can say tonight that God loves me. You know, a lot of people today, they see God as the big, wicked, evil stepfather that's just kindly waiting on you to step out of line so he can knock you right back in the line. A lot of people see the idea of a heavenly father in the same image where their daddy might have walked out on them or something like that. But praise God, he is not a man that he should lie. And he said that he loves us with a love that he does not have for any other creation. We are the only ones that have been made in his image. We are the only ones that really have any idea of self-will or choice. We see it in he did privilege the angels with it, and we know that some turned, but think about the rest of creation. And praise God, he loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son, John 3:16. But that all who believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then there's Romans 8:32. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give freely us all things? We have to believe either one or the other. Either God is love, or either he doesn't love us, and then he's pulling some type of cruel joke on us by telling he does. You see, and again, there's days we don't feel like God loves us, right? I mean, there's days that when the car overheats and then you get it done, you have to go pick up the youngin' from school when you get home, and then your spouse expects you to have the clothes done and the food ready and all that. Hey, you're not going to feel the greatest on those days, but still, does that change the fact that Jesus says, I love you? I'll go far enough that I'll put my own comfort aside, and I'll roll myself in dirt. That's what we're made out of, isn't it? Dirt. That the King of Heaven put on a dirt cloak and came here, lived a perfect life, and then died for our sins, for whosoever. Now, if that doesn't scream love, then what does? So we know tonight all things work together for His good, or for His glory and our good. Amen. But not only that, we also know that we have a God that cannot and will not lie.
And then we also have a God that loves us more than we can rationalize in our brain. Our brains cannot, isn't that awesome? Our brains cannot fathom the love that God has for us. But then the third thing is that we know that God will protect us. We know that God will protect us. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, or no weapon formed against you shall prosper, is how the old King James says it. And you shall refute every tongue that rises up against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is what He's leaving behind to us. This is His riches left to us as His children. What is that? That He will look out for us. Matthew 10:28-30. And fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him, or which are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Are not, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father knowing? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God values His creation, and I think we should look out for His creation. But God made it for us to have dominion over it. But in all of it, He didn't die for any of it except for humanity. Humanity, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Any thoughts on, and we know that God will protect us. Praise God, we need protection. I tell you what, there is a real, and I think we miss out on it sometimes as Baptists, but the Bible says that there's a third heaven. I think there's a lot of warfare going on in the second heaven that we can't see. You know, the Bible tells us that there was a battle over Moses' bones. You remember that? They fought. I mean, Michael fought over the bones. And you remember, was it in Daniel? When Daniel was praying, and Daniel prayed for 21 days, and when he finally got the answer to his prayer, he said, I was coming, but I fought against the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia, if you study in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Isaiah, the prince of Persia is a picture of Satan, that he had been fighting against demonic forces. So yes, we pray. Yes, there's a real spiritual battle going on around us. And hallelujah, you remember we talked about part of His riches is His restraint. That He holds back not only His judgment and wrath, but like with Job, He held back the enemy's attack as well. Remember, He said, basically, He came up to present Himself before God, is what the Bible says, that the devil came to present Himself with the sons of man or with the angels. And the Lord basically says, have you considered my servant Job? Really, in the King James, it said, but what He's saying is, you've been watching my boy Job. You've been looking at him. You've been seeing how good he is to serve me. And that's when the demon went back, or the devil went back, and he says, well, if you just pull your hand away, you've blessed him so much, if you pull your hand away, he would deny you. But do you know what? We think about all of the physical that was going on there, but remember, there was a spiritual thing going on. And every time he took a lick, he still stayed faithful to God. What was that telling in the spiritual realm? What a testimony it was in the spiritual realm, not just in the physical realm. So we know that all things work together for God's good. We know that God cannot lie. We know that God loves us. And when I'm talking about we, I'm talking about believers in Christ Jesus that have given their life over to Him, and that He has called and secured us. And we know that God has promised us the victory. Now, again, I don't like the saying, I've read the back of the book and we win, because if you read the Bible, we're already winning, you know. I mean, this is, and I've said this before, but this ain't Star Wars and the Force. I mean, it is not some big galactic battle between the rebels and the dark Sith or whatever. God is so big, the devil pales in His shadow. You realize that? I mean, yes, He's been given rule and reign here for a little while, but God don't fight fights. He just finishes them. You know that? When He speaks the word, when everything comes up against Christ Jesus in the end times, and it says that He's going to win by the sword of His mouth, remember that? You know what that means? He's going to say something, and it's going to be gone. It'll be over. That's how strong our Lord is.
And hallelujah, he's looking over my life in John 16:33. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Why? Because he has overcome the world. He has victory over this world. He has victory over death. He has victory over hell. And hallelujah, he is going to allow me to experience that victory in a total sense. Every bit of it. And praise God. Now remember, you remember he came so that we could have life more abundantly, didn't he? And he says, I'm going to give you peace that can't be explained. He doesn't want us just to get by. You remember that Casting Crown songs? We weren't just meant to survive. We were made to what? Thrive. We were made to thrive. Amen. Notice in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, he disarms the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumph over them. And I believe it goes on to say that he took the writings against us or the accusations against us and nailed it to his cross. Amen. Romans 8:37, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are what? More. Remember, he doesn't want us just to have a full cup, but he wants our cup bubbling over, right? And he says, I just ain't going to make you a conqueror. I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. Praise God, we got a God that believes in extra. I got youngins that are extra. They always got a... I told Maddie that when she passed out, I was just like, you just got to go to the doctor. You got to have the sight on you. But hallelujah, we have a Lord that doesn't want us just to accept okay. He wants us to live extra. Hallelujah. Any thoughts on that? Mm-mm. He had to come and... Amen. Amen. And, you know, what we see in there is what we can learn about the devil with us. The Bible calls the devil many names, you know. Lucifer, Beelzebub, the devil, Satan. But another one is, you remember, the accuser of the brethren. You remember that one? So what he did was he went down there and he said, Lord, let me try him. And he'll tempt us. You know what I mean? He tempts us and he does all that. And then what happens? When we fall, then we feel guilty. And what does he say to us? He says, how in the world could you ever think that God could love you? But not only that, he runs to the Lord and he says the same stuff. Look at your boy there. He just fell. And you know what the Lord said? I just see the blood. And that's what we can say. I am under the blood. I'm covered by his blood and each and every sin. So, and the last, was someone saying something? No. Okie dokie. Don't cough. I'll call on you to do something. We know that we are never alone. We know we are never alone. You remember he says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah, the same Holy Spirit that moved on the physical body of Jesus Christ on the resurrection morning is alive inside of you and I. Hallelujah, that he is always with us. We're never alone. And praise God, just say the name of Jesus makes the situation better. When you just declare his and you bring him into the middle of it. And sometimes, I mean, say it out loud, man. Cry out his name, because something happens when you say his name. The devils, they won't hang around too long. The three Hebrew boys, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, Peter and Paul in prison, Stephen as he was looking at death, every one of them, why were they able to do it? Because they accepted the reality. You think they felt that the Lord was with them every time? Probably not. But did they know the Lord was with them? Why? Based on the word of the Lord and that spirit that lives within them. And then, like Brother Otis said, it is just weird times right now. Every day's an adventure. Every day, a lot of days you have to change things just so you can go about that day in a little bit of normalcy. because things just pop up here, pop up there, and you're just like, my goodness, I didn't see that one. Well, praise God, we know that this is not the end. And we're going to end with the verse that we read the other night at the for the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and following. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord, or in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, or because this is true, because all that is true, comfort one another with these words. Repeat these words to one another in difficult times, that this is not the end. Hallelujah. I think about Sister Catherine, and you know what? The only hell she'll ever have to face is behind her now. Isn't that awesome? Not based on me preaching her into heaven or nobody else saying how good she was. It's based on her testimony in Christ Jesus. And praise God, when we live on this side, every now and then, you just need to remind yourself, this is the only hell I'm ever, this is the closest thing to hell that I'll ever have to face. And I'm victorious over that because he said, I'm more than a conqueror. And we know, number one, he cannot lie. And because he cannot lie, every other promise we can count on. Amen? All right, any thoughts before we close out tonight? God bless you. Be careful. And didn't they say more snow this weekend? Shut your mouth. My wife's praying for it. She is. I told y'all how they do. I mean, they'll be down in the dumps and they'll look out the window and there'll be just a half a snowflake falling and it'll just change into Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory around the house. I mean, but they're going around just happy as they can be. Woo! Anything else before we close? Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your goodness, for your love, for those riches that you've poured out. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I pray that I will learn and I will know, not only, Lord, that you're working everything out, but all these other promises that you'll never leave me, you won't lie to me, you've given me victory. And Heavenly Father, Lord, you'll never leave me alone, and that this is not the end that you have for me. So, God, I praise you and I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.